You know, I hope you realize that this morning, today, we are sitting in the presence of God Almighty. When the angels come before the presence of God, and they mention His name, they bow and cover their faces. We are here in the presence of a holy God. The more I think about that, the greater the responsibility for me. Because you're here to be fed. And I just pray to the Lord that the words that I have for you this morning may encourage you and may get you closer to Jesus Christ. About six, seven years ago, and I don't remember if it was an email that was circulating or there was a story that someone had mentioned, but it was a story about a resurrection, a modern time resurrection. Now, I know that we could get a little bit technical here about, well, when does death happen? Because, you know, there are people that have died, but they go in with the paddles and they come back to life. Now, I'm talking about dead, really. 10:35. That's it. We did everything we could. They're dead. And the story was circulating that this person had been dead, but they resurrected. I don't remember if I followed up because, you know, later on there's, well, that's not the way it went. It happened this way. Or it happened that way, or, you know, however it happened. And so doubts begin to creep in as far as if this resurrection was real or not. And I don't know about you, but as you study the Bible, as you grow in your spiritual life, you begin to realize that the resurrection of Jesus Christ wasn't the only resurrection that's in the Bible. There were many other resurrections. Resurrections as in more than one. And this morning we're going to see a few examples of those resurrections that happened in the Bible. The widow's son by Elijah. And by the way, I'm just going to go quickly through these because I don't have all the time to go through the story and everything that happened, because if I did that, I would have to say, okay, when I'm done, we'll just stay here for the Jose Rojas meeting. And I know some of you have family, want to go eat today, and so on and so on. So the widow's son, if you remember that story, the lady had only one son. He died, and Elijah came and resurrected him. The Shunammite's son by Elijah. This is that story, remember, when the lady was picking up sticks and was going to eat their last meal with her boy. And then Elijah comes. Well, this boy gets sick. He dies. And Elijah comes and he does some type of CPR with him. And he is able to bring him back to life. There's another story. And this is interesting, and I don't have time to go into this, but Elisha's, in 2 Kings, was talking to the king, and he was telling him that he was going to die. Elisha was sick. Now, that's kind of interesting to me, because Elisha had all the power, and yet he couldn't, you know, pray for himself and heal himself. The Bible says that he was going to die from this sickness. And they buried him. And there were some other things that happened there with the king, because he didn't strike the ground 5 times. Elijah said, you should have struck the ground 5, 6, 7 times. You only struck it 3 times. And so if you read that story, you're going to get a little bit more detail. But they went and they buried, you know, they buried Elijah in the spring. And then later on, the Moabites were raiding the countryside. And here we have a group of men that are burying a man. And when they're burying this man, they see that there are some raiders. They're raiding the town. And they just, what are we going to do with this guy? They picked him up and they kind of threw him into Elijah's grave there. As soon as that man touched the bones of Elijah, he resurrected. I don't know after that if they were more afraid of the guy that resurrected or the raiders that were going to come and raid the town. So that's what happened there. Then we have the Lazarus by Jesus Christ. Lazarus was dead, the brother of Mary and Martha, and everybody was sad, and the professional wailers and the ones that were screaming and crying, because, you know, they paid him to do that. Oh, please, how much do you charge for an hour of crying? About $10, 50 cents. Okay, I hire you for an hour. What do you do? Just cry at my brother's funeral. And the louder you cry, the more bonuses you get. And Jesus Christ came and he went, well, show me where that, you know the story. He took extra time to make sure, 4 days as a matter of fact, because there was a kind of like a story going around, a belief in that time that for 3 days, the spirit of the person hung around the tomb. 3 days. And if Jesus would have resurrected him within 3 days, what would have people said? No big deal. Because the spirit was just floating around for 3 days and just happened to fall back down and boom, he came back to life. So Jesus said, okay, 4 days. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth. I remember about the ruler's daughter. Very interesting about the ruler's daughter. He came to Jesus and the Bible says that the ruler came and worshiped him by saying something. He said, come and lay your hands on her and she will live. And the Bible says that by saying these things, this ruler was worshiping God, Jesus. I hope you are here today realizing that there is nothing impossible for Jesus Christ. All things are possible through him. And here's another resurrection that kind of has kind of sometimes a great deal of discussion, because it happened at the death of Jesus Christ. There were a number of people that resurrected. And not only that, they resurrected and they went into the city and, you know, showed themselves to the people in the city. Could you imagine? You're sitting there with your family just having breakfast because grandma or uncle passed away 5 months ago. And you get a door, the knock at the door, and you open the door and you turn white. It happened. Eutychus, raised back from the life. And this should be, you know, kind of like a lesson for me not to preach too long. Now I realize why they put windows in the balcony up there. Pain. But, you know, pastor, preacher went over time and poor guy was in the third story. And his eyes, he was just trying to keep himself awake. And all of a sudden, and down he went. He died. They took him back up. And he was resurrected. More resurrections. How about the greatest resurrection of them all? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus had been telling his disciples, this is what's going to happen. And don't be surprised when it happens. I'm telling you. He told them in so many different ways. And yet, when it happened, it was like, oh, they were all surprised and sad and you know. But that Sunday morning when that earthquake hit, boy, those guards, those strong guards, those, you know, guards that weren't afraid of anything fell flat on their face. They fainted, and no one, nothing, not even the grave, could hold Jesus back. He resurrected. And that's why it's so good to know that the grave is empty. I like what the angel said when the ladies ran that Sunday morning. They were going to continue doing their work. And the angel said, why are you searching for the dead among the living? Or is it the other way around? But the greatest resurrection is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And He is alive and He's coming back, and that's a good thing. There's a resurrection at the return of Jesus Christ. And if you have your Bibles, would you like to open 1 Thessalonians 4:15-17? 1 Thessalonians 4:15-17. It says, "For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." And then Revelation 20 verse 4 says, "Then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those who to whom judgment was committed. Also I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their testimony to Jesus and for the word of God, and who had not worshiped the beast or its image, and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. And Revelation 25 and 6 says, "This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who shares in the first resurrection, because over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God of Christ, and they shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, if you had a choice between these two resurrections that are going to happen in the end, I suggest that you choose the first resurrection. Because there is another resurrection, and that resurrection happens at the end of 1,000 years. I think I pressed the wrong button here. At the end of 1,000, well, we'll just go with that. Revelation 20, verses 7 through 10, and says, "And when 1,000 years are ended, Satan will be loosed from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations which are at the four corners of the earth, that is Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. Their number is like the sand of the sea. And they marched up over the broad earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. But fire came down from heaven and consumed them. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." Of course, we understand what that tormented forever and ever means. All these incidents of resurrection, all of them, okay, from the first one that we talked about to the last resurrection, they have this in common. Resurrection power is only given to those that are dead. I want you to keep that in mind, because resurrection power, if you want resurrection power, you have to be dead. You can't have a resurrection being alive. Right? Resurrection power is only given to those that are dead. But you may say, Pastor, but we are alive. Look at us. We're looking at you and we're trying to follow you as you walk up across the stage there. We are alive. Resurrection power, let me put it to you this way then, only comes to those who are dead to self. Jesus Christ put it this way. Then he said to them, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Here's Jesus speaking to us today, this morning. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Now you say, I do that every day. To take up the cross, in order for you to take up his cross daily, you really have to deny self. You have to die to self. 2 Corinthians 4:10. Listen to what it says. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. Jesus Christ wants to give you life. Jesus Christ wants to give you that resurrection power, but you first must be willing to die to self. Listen to this quote. It is the love of self that destroys our what? Our peace. While self is alive, we stand ready continually to guard it from mortification and insult. But when we are dead and our life is hid with Christ in God, we shall not take neglects or slights to heart. We shall be deaf to reproach and blind to scorn and insult. Two weeks ago, someone called me. And there's an expression that I think it says they raked me over the coals. Well, they raked me over the coals. I mean, this is a Christian. Someone with the love of God in their heart. And I was driving and I had to pull over because it was, getting a little bit too intense to be driving and hearing this and trying to respond. And as I was hearing, self kept trying to pop its head. You know, and the more you hear self, it is the love of self that destroys our peace. While self is alive, while you think that you have the right to say this, you have the right to act this way, you have the right to respond to this situation this way, while self is still alive, we stand ready continually to guard it from mortification and insult. I am so thankful that Jesus Christ was always willing to do the will of the Father. Because with the power that He had and that He has, and with the insults that He was going through when they were taking Him to the cross and before in the trials and all that, if self would have risen, where would we be? Where would we be? And this other quote, there is no limit to the usefulness of one who, putting self aside, makes room for the working of the Holy Spirit upon his heart and lives a life wholly consecrated to God. Let me tell you something this morning, something that I have learned. You cannot hurt a corpse. You cannot hurt a dead body. You can't. My grandma was very interesting in her thinking. She did not want to be cremated. And there was no option. Period. And we asked her, Grandma, why not? I mean, it's cheaper. And it's, you know, less. But she said no. And we asked why. Because she said, I don't want to be feeling the flames when they're cremating me. You know, she didn't want to feel being placed in that. And it's not a CAT scan either. And all those jets come. I mean, she did not want to feel that. But this morning I tell you, you cannot hurt a dead body, a corpse. You cannot hurt someone who has died to self. It's impossible. Numbers 28. Remember that story when Moses was right, but he was wrong. And there are times when we think we're right, but we are wrong. One day a lady was complaining to her counselor. And she was complaining about all the ways that her husband was wrong. I mean, she just, this, that. And you know what? She was right. But so wrong. Because in her heart, she was bitter. She was vindictive. And the same thing with Moses here. He was right, but so wrong. Let me share with you, I hate to do this, but I'm going to do it anyways. You don't have to read them. Just listen if you want. But sometimes the quotes, I can't just share just a little bit of it. It has to be the whole thing. All who profess godliness are under the most sacred obligation. What kind of obligation? Sacred obligation to guard the spirit and to exercise self-control under the greatest provocation. Moses, the meekest man in the whole world, like the Bible puts it, the Lord told him to talk to the rock and the water would come out. He went to the rock and struck it twice. The burdens placed upon Moses were very, very great. Few men will ever be so severely tried as he was. Yet this was not allowed to excuse his sin. God has made ample provision for his people. And if they rely upon his strength, they will never become the sport of circumstances. The strongest temptation cannot excuse sin. However great the pressure brought to bear upon the soul, transgression is our own act. It is not in the power of earth or hell to compel anyone to do evil. Satan attacks us at our weak points, but we need not to be overcome. However severe or unexpected the assault, God has provided help for us, and in His strength we may conquer. In the strength of God, in the strength that Jesus Christ gives us, we are able to conquer. I understand when people come and say, "Pastor, I cannot control myself because he made me so angry." I understand that. And the cause might have been that you get very angry. In His strength, we may conquer. Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with whom? I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." We need resurrection power. We need to die. Self needs to die. Substitute this for me and read it in your mind. Substitute I for self. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer self who lives in me. But Christ lives in me. And the life which self now lives in the flesh, self lives by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Self. You know how we say, "The devil made me do it"? I really think that sometimes we should be saying, "I made me do it. Self made me do it." Which really translates, "I did it. I did it." Why? Because I got angry. Because I said this. Because I took it. Because I did it. I did prison ministries. Well, actually, it wasn't prison ministries. It was jail ministries. And by the way, the jails here are much better than the jails in third world countries. I went to visit a jail in Mexico to do jail ministry. And they open up that jail and they say, go ahead, go visit who you need to visit. And everybody's there. And there are no guards walking around to protect you. You're like, because there are people, inmates walking here, and you go into their cell, and the cell is everywhere. In this jail, the cells were all around, and there was a big patio in the center where everybody congregated, everybody, including the ones that were visiting. And I was praying, "Oh Lord, I hope no one gets the idea, revolt, let's get those guys over there and hold them as hostages." I didn't want. I did prison ministries, jail ministries in Stevenson. They had a big jail. And every time we went to visit the inmates, if there were 20 of them, probably 19 of them were always blaming someone for what they did. If it wasn't the sister, it was the brother. If it wasn't the judge, the policeman that caught me, if he wasn't there, I wouldn't be here. I mean, it was always someone. They didn't take responsibility for what self did. I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. And in order for Christ to live in you, self must die. And when self dies, you will receive resurrection power. Because resurrection power only comes to those that are dead. If you saw the first slide, this was just an introduction. Because part two is coming. And part two, we're going to learn how we receive that resurrection power. Because I don't know about you, but I know that I need, on a daily basis, that resurrection power. The greatest resurrection of them all was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And because Jesus Christ is alive, you and I have that opportunity to receive the power that He has. Christ the Lord is risen today. We're going to sing about that right now. This is going to be our closing hymn. Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Sons of men and angels say, Hallelujah. And so I would like for you to open your hymnals to page 166. Christ the Lord is risen today. And let's sing. Let's sing. With our hearts, with our minds, knowing that this is the greatest resurrection that has ever happened.
Amen. Let's stand as we sing this song.
Christ the Lord is risen today. Redeeming
that He lives. We heard us sing. I don't know. Did we sing, "We serve a risen Savior"? He's in the world today. And we know that He lives. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Let's pray. Father, we want to thank You this beautiful Sabbath for giving us an opportunity to worship as a family. We want to thank You for Your willingness to come and die for us, for Your willingness to come and die for me. Father, we all need resurrection power in our life. We need to die to self. We need to love one another. We need to get things straightened out with each other. You're coming soon. And the bride of Christ needs to be ready. Father, I thank You for Jesus. For the fact that He's alive. And through the Holy Spirit, we receive power and guidance, instruction. And I pray that as we continue to get closer to Jesus, that we may continue to die on a daily basis, that we may continue to put self aside on a daily basis, because I need resurrection power. Be with us during the rest of the Sabbath day. Help us to continue to honor and to glorify Your name. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.